Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
You kind of changed it a little bit that time. You said, to help you thrive. It was sort of, maybe that's the closest I can get to a change, was actually a change of inflection. So I'll take it. I'm going to rejoice with that.
Well, you know, last week, Ed, it's funny because last week at the time of this recording, I was down in the Bay Area in Houston speaking at Exponential, and several listeners came up and they were like, don't change the intro.
They're stubborn people. Did they really? That's so funny.
No, they actually did bring that up.
So I was in Canada and I asked how many people listened to the podcast. It was a church planning Congress, the Canadian Church Planning Congress.
Yeah.
And there were all kinds of people listening to the podcast, and none of them said to me, don't change the intro. But I didn't actually ask them, so that explains why they
Well,
might not, so.
That's funny. You as an American were in Canada, and I as a Canadian were in the States the same week.
Exactly. It's just one big happy continent. We're all in this together in this continent. And it's funny because, you know, one of the things when you're talking in Canada about church planning and you're an American, you have to be careful because, I mean, you know, how many Americans, you know, go up and say, well, let me tell you how we did this in Texas. And, you know, they're sort of a, I don't know, they get a little bit much from Americans because part of being Canadian is you're not American. That's part of your definition, is you're not American. Yep. But it was good. And it was good to have a little fun and laugh because it's just funny how we have this whole community now, over a million downloads, hold this whole community around New Churches. And I love that. I mentioned you in my opening talk, and I love that we're doing this together.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Ed. All right. So based on that, I actually was thinking it'd be a great opportunity for us to discuss the future of church planting in Canada, because I've just recently moved back and our church, Beulah Alliance Church, I mean, it's 98 years old and have planted over 60 churches since its origin. I mean, it was very missionary focused. So many churches. I mean, we were even driving around Edmonton. I was like, oh, Christina, did you know that church was planted from Beulah and that church was planted from Beulah and this? So it's so cool to see that history and I guess the heart for multiplication and what's happening with church planting Canada as well. I mean, it's such a neat thing to see as it relates to collaboration. So Ed, as you were there, and as you are you are the expert in church planning, what do you see as the future of church planning in Canada?
Well, so let me be super careful. Again, you're Canadian, I'm not. So part of that reality is you've got to say, okay, you know, well, what do I see as church planting in Canada? It's like saying, you know, what do I see in Latino church planting? I'm not an expert on that.
Yeah, but you're married to a Canadian, though.
Well, seriously, I'm married to a Canadian. My daughters are Canadians. But we've done some research there. And we do see that, well, a few things. First, most of our listeners are in the U.S. We have listeners all around the world. Some places you'd never guess, but most are in the U.S. And church planting in the U.S. generally is going to feel different than church planting in Canada by a few things. First, there's not as many receptive, responsive people. In Canada soon will be a minority Christian nation. It's in the low 50s now. Soon it'll be in the high 40s% of people who call themselves Christians. Now, I know we don't necessarily see everyone who calls themselves a Christian as being a Christian, which is weird to people, but it is true. So I think what you're finding is that as receptive, responsive people, you know, I tell people the best place to plant a church is in Cincinnati, because easiest place at least, because you got a lot of people or evangelicals from the American South, but it's kind of on the border to the, you know, the north central states, and there's people to start with, but then there's people to reach. Well, in Canada, there's not as many people to start with. So I think that's a big difference. So that also means that success looks differently. Now, again, it's so difficult to define success, but what I'm talking about is, you know, getting to self-sufficiency so I was talking to one church planner who was from Halifax, if I recall, Wesleyan from Halifax. And, you know, they're 3-4 years in, they've got 75 people. And if you were in Texas, you might think that's not so great. But man, if you're in Halifax, that's pretty strong.
And so
there's a difference to the post-Christian environment that Canada is much more fully so than, say, church planting in the U.S. Of course, some of you, I mean, we know we have people listening in Africa and Southeast Asia and all these other places. So it's just, you can't universalize your church planting experience. So when I get up, I even say, that it's different. And yet, same time, there are, you know, breakout stories in Canada. You know, we were in Montreal for the Church Planting Congress, and there were some breakout stories there. So it's not one story, but it is a different story usually from church planting. And same thing, it might be more familiar to church plant of Boston, plant a church in Boston, than to Toronto, the GTA. They might be more familiar than planting a church from Boston to looking to Birmingham. You know, Birmingham, Alabama would be a whole different feel. So I just think you have to remember that the how of church planting is in many ways determined by the who, when, and where of culture. That includes the growth and the impact those church plants can make and what time period they'll take to get there.
Yeah, those are really good points. And when you think about the difference, one of the big differences between Canada and the U.S. is where people live. Obviously, in the States, it's 10 times the number of people, so there's that added dynamic to it. But when you look at Canada, the majority of the population lives in a few of these mega cities, right? A few of these major cities. I feel like, and I might be wrong here, but I feel like it's a little bit more distributed across the state. So here's an example, right? Edmonton, where I'm at, grew by 200,000 people in the last 10 years. Right. And people are moving rapidly to Edmonton because of housing costs. And, you know, there's several different reasons. But when you think about it, Edmonton gets pretty cold. Like, it snowed here yesterday. At the time of our recording in October, it snowed here yesterday.
Wow.
And I mean, it's just it gets cold here. So it's not as nice as Vancouver. It's not as nice as some other parts of the country. But it seems like, you know, Vancouver, Montreal, Calgary, Toronto, you know, you have some of these mega Canadian cities, well, mega in Canadian standards, that a lot of people will move to. And
big,
the issue,
I mean,
that
but,
we
you
find.
Know, Toronto's 2.9, almost 3 million, and still is growing. Montreal's growing. Quebec City's growing. Yeah. Whereas some of our cities here are not growing any longer.
Yeah. And I wonder if it's just a lot more distributed.
Yeah.
Right, in the States, but I mean, you know, and it's always proportionate to the population, right? So when you think about it from that perspective, Ed, what are your thoughts on the whole idea of livability, right? Because when we were in New York for our CPLF, our Church Planting Leadership Fellowship, and we were with Tim Keller and his team talking about planting in New York and just the viability of that, and then you have just that whole idea of planting in these major cities in Canada, like Vancouver, or even downtown Edmonton, or Toronto, Montreal. I mean, it is just expensive. Expensive. One, there's the one side of the lack of zoning, right? And then you got to find the rental. But it's just so expensive to live where you're planting. So what are your thoughts on that side?
Yeah, and that's definitely a Canadian issue. It's not just a Canadian issue, but definitely is a Canadian issue. I agree with you. It seems to me that the U.S. has a lot of second, third tier cities that are much less common in Canada. You know, when we look at, we mentioned, you know, Toronto is almost 3 million, but if you look at the, what do you call it? The metro, the GTA, the metro area, that's 6.5 million. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And in a country that is, I mean, what is that? It's 30 million. So that's one out of five Canadians lives in Toronto. I mean,
that's fascinating.
And yet there are other cities of over a million as well. So what you have is Canada, particularly you go that corridor from, you know, Toronto to Montreal. Outside of that, it's a lot of rural. So, you know, you've been in the Maritimes, you've been in the Atlantic Canada, you've been in Alberta, you know, Saskatchewan. These are just very rural areas. So, but that does create, as you said, these expense bubbles that are in the heart of some of these cities. And so I think it kind of requires a few different paths. You could go the path of let's fund somebody at a livable full-time wage, probably longer than we would in if we were doing something similar in Little Five Points in Atlanta, which is expensive, but you know, more receptive. So you could say, we need a 5-year runway. You know, we're going to fund this full time, but full time here just to even survive. You know, we have some church plants, and right now, increasingly, urban campuses of some of these suburban mega churches in and around Chicago, and they actually will have to pay. They have to pay the rent of the church, the campus pastor, separately, because it's so expensive, and then salary and all the costs that go along with it. So I think you can go that way, which is basically funding full-time people, which is a lot of times what campuses would be, church plants less so. Or you can go another direction and build towards bivocationalism, you know, or co-vocationalism, increasing the use, co-vocationalism, using using the ability to have a job and yet simultaneously to be involved in planting a church. And so I think that's, and the third thing is just think in terms of organic. I mean, you could not mm-hmm. be planting a church in the normal way. You could be, instead of churches growing, you could multiply them. So they don't grow by addition in one place. They grow by multiplication. And so, I think the potential there are probably all three paths are going to be used. And I think for pushing forward on those three paths, I think will be necessary for us to reach those core. And I should say, multi-site's a whole nother conversation. I'm for. I mean, particularly if there's an affluent suburban church that says, I want to pour money into, now I don't want just someone to go to the rich part of the city, but I want to pour some money and resources into the city. Praise God for that. That could be a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, for our church, we're looking at planting a campus downtown partly because it's growing 32% year over year right now.
In Edmonton.
It's just, yeah, it's in crazy. Edmonton. Like Edmonton grew by 200,000 people in the last 10 years. It's the youngest city in Canada. 36 is the average age.
Wow.
And more than 53% of the city is millennial, Gen Z, and younger.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Like it is just insane. Right. So, Ed, when you think about that, right, and you think about all of the church planters in Canada, just to wrap up this episode, what advice would you give them? What advice would you give our listeners, our Canadian listeners listening in specifically?
Yeah, I would say that to be realistic, that church planting in most of Canada, now again, even Canada, I mean, it's probably going to be different in Alberta. It's probably going to be different in Calgary, where you have, you mentioned the population growth. I mean, Calgary is experiencing some pretty rapid population growth. But it's also more, that the whole middle part of the country is more religious, or at least more open to issues of faith. So again, without generalizing, which I don't think people from outside of a country should generalize about their country, I would say that it's going to be harder than maybe the books you read. I don't even know. I've never read a book specifically focused on Canadian church planning. Is there one? I just don't know. Or do you know of one?
There is one. It's pretty
okay.
Old,
okay. Yeah. There are books that would go back decades, but so what I would say is you're going to read the books that are often written from an American perspective. You have to retool and recenter that on your own experience. Recognize it's a long, hard slog sometimes. But and it may require living more like a missionary than like a founding pastor so that you can actually get to the place where the church can plant without the overwhelming burden of a full-time salary. Or you have outside supporters who will help you ultimately to do that. But just know that it's going to take a season. You want to focus on reaching people who don't know Christ. And there's a lot of people who don't know Christ in a lot of contexts in Canada. So it's a target-rich environment, lots of opportunity to engage. But at the same time, pace yourself. Get a good partner church, mother church that's supportive and encouraging. Don't set yourself out separately, but walk that journey with others. And I think ultimately it can make a difference.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thanks again for listening into the New Churches Q&A podcast. Be sure to listen to the group answers one with Chris Surratt and Brian Daniel as well, as they're part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family. And recently they've covered topics like the Enneagram and small groups, all-time best Bible studies, and Trevin Wax on discipleship trends. So just look up Group Answers on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.